Welcome back to episode 130 of the Real Life Carry Podcast. The much anticipated 130th episode, Michael.
Everybody's been waiting for it. It's here, finally. 130.
Yeah, we slipped up. We missed our two-week target, and it's three. Any reason for that?
It happens. My calendars get mixed up. Tea times, good times, you know, all those good things.
What good stuff
we're going to blame me, so it's my fault.
Oh, we're going to definitely blame you. What good stuff do we have for the listeners?
Well, we're going to talk about the official world golf ranking points and how that's established and maintained. Yeah. We're going to talk about acceptable golf attire. We're going to talk about why do we shout four on the golf course? Where did that originate from and why do we shout it? Interestingly, we're also going to talk about if golf pros actually like caddies.
Oh, yeah, it's a good talking point, that.
And we got to, you know, it's a big week with the Masters. We got to talk about our good friend, Brandel Champlain, and what he brings to the table or lack thereof.
Excellent. Fun packed. However, we need to get started. We always start with caddy stories. What you got?
Caddy story. Well, I had a few weeks off. Personally, took a little trip down south to that place.
Where did you go? Were you playing golf?
No, we went down to my favorite spot, Disneyland, down in Southern California. So we had a good couple days in there. Got back, flipped around, went right back up to Lake Tahoe, where I really enjoy it, and got to snowboard for a few days.
Most people don't get it. I guess it's hard to understand that we live in an area where we're right next to the ocean. It can be, you know, 65, 70 degrees Fahrenheit here. I was going to say Celsius. Yeah. Tell you what, that'd be hard to believe. Yeah. But then you can go a few hours away and then you're, how much snow?
Oh, I mean, they've got hammered this year, 40, 50 feet of snow this year in Tahoe. It's been crazy. We used to do a thing years ago. We haven't done it in a number of years, but for many years we do snowboard and golf in the same day because you can, I mean, getting to the mountains, you drive up about 5 hours, but you don't get into the snow until about 4 hours into the drive. So you're really only in the snow for an hour. So you drive down the mountain, and it, you know, it's 55, 60 degrees. You can go out and play golf. And we used to do that every year. We'd snowboard half the day and then go play golf. It was pretty fun.
It's a bit like Aberdeen. You can play golf in the rain in the morning, and then you can go to the dry ski slope just along the road and ski in the rain as well. So it's kind of similar type thing there. So, okay, a couple of weeks off.
But, you know, the reason this time of year it's good to take that because they punch the greens. They do the big punches. So, you know, you want to kind of – I like staying away from the golf courses because we know what we get, and we kind of get – it's a different variation of the winter people. We get the punch green people, which is actually kind of worse than the winter people. Yeah. Those are people personally, I typically don't want to caddy for. So I got to avoid that for a few weeks, got right back into it, started carrying golf bags, which I haven't done for many, many months. I haven't carried two bags in the longest time. Get back, and I was talking to a caddy who I was going to be working with that day, and he says, you know, I've been carrying like 4 days in a row, and he was a less senior caddy. So we get up to the tee box, and there was two on the cart, two walking. And I'm like, I'm gonna give this caddy a break. He's been carrying every day. I'll be the man that carries the golf bags. Carried it, and they were heavy ass bags and 3 day job. But but brutal. But I got right back into it. This loop though, in particular, the first tee, I'm like, here we go. My first loop back, had a couple weeks off. He's like, just so you know, I played in one of the pro-ams last year, one of the bigger ones. He breaks out the yardage book, and I look at him, I'm like, here we go. I'm like, he's talking about his buddy. He's like, yeah, you're giving me 14. Or I'm like, what's your index, bro? He's like, oh, I'm a 19. I'm like, here we go. And absolutely grinding over the yardage book. Uphills. He played with a couple of, it was the senior tour event, but he's talking about adjusted numbers and carry to the front, carry to the back. I'm like, dude, you're 165 to the front edge, 180 to the back. You don't know how far 165 is. You don't know if you're going to spin it. I'm like, stop worrying about front edge and adjusted numbers. Just get the ball near the green and we'll be happy. Certainly from 100. Those people drive me nuts. They're looking at adjusted numbers to the front edge of the green, back edge of the green. Yeah, sometimes it's good to have that information, but when it's pertinent, not from 180 yards, 160 yards, when it's from like 80 yards, just get out of here with your adjusted numbers. We're trying to break 120.
Well, when we have tournaments out here, I always love how some of the events, I'm sure they pay extra for this, and they'll say, would you like a pin sheet? Like, look at what you're carrying.
Look at this guy. Does he need a pin sheet? Get out of here.
No, we don't need it. And even at the wee course, I'll sometimes walk down the first tee, and they'll say, Pin number three. And I'm thinking to myself, I have no idea where that is. I've been there over 20 years. I still don't know where pin three is. What does that even mean?
It's a brutal pin.
Is it?
Pin three is the worst hole location. Start back left on one. So there's a pattern to those. If you may not know this. There's a pattern to the hole locations. It always starts front, middle, back. Depending on, like, pin three starts back, then it goes front, middle, back the rest of the day.
Interesting.
Every hole. So if it's back on one, pin three, you know it's up front on two. Middle on three, back on four. Front, middle, back, all day.
It used to be a TV show in the UK on a Friday night. It was with Michael Barrymore. Top, middle, or bottom? Top, middle, or bottom? He ended up getting himself into a whole lot of trouble, so the UK listeners, you'll know who he is.
And nobody else will.
Nobody else will. Listen, all you need to do is go on google.com and type in Michael Barrymore, top, middle, or bottom. And for him, it was mostly the bottom.
That's funny.
That's horrible.
So I got another. I wanted to talk about this because when we talk about golfers and talk about liars, notorious liars, right? They lie like crazy. Yes. And you're actually involved in this. So I had this group. Not that you lied.
I definitely lied.
But so this group, you probably remember the post you had on Twitter, the dude with the sandals, right?
Yes.
That was just last week.
That was one of my talking points about what's acceptable in the golf course, attire-wise.
Yeah, so I randomly had this group for a couple of days. Derek, Jonathan, Dave Nightingale, and this guy, Timmy. Timmy, actually, we had some magic going. This guy, he's a member of a pretty nice club in the Bay Area, and it's fun. I think Brandon Manbun has talked about this, about when you get that magic going and the guy starts making putts, and anyway, so he's making tons of putts. I digress. The next day, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So the next day we get on the tee and he's talking. He's like, they were talking about, oh yeah, my buddy was here last week and this caddy posted this on Twitter. I was like, his sandals. I'm like, oh, glorified donkey. I was like, here you go. Check out the podcast.
Yeah.
Now, he's like, oh yeah, my buddy was here. He's telling me all about it. And he's like a +3 handicap. And I was like, I'm going to talk to my buddy about this. So I have to ask you, there was another gentleman in that group, portly gentleman, correct?
His brother.
His brother, portly gentleman.
Yes.
Real good player?
Good player.
Good player.
I don't think +3. I think he shot 77.
77, which is another funny talking point because he told his
buddy. Well, it could have been. It might have been
more. He told his buddies he shot 74. How many drinks do you think he had?
Oh, at least 8.
Okay, he told him 12 doubles.
12 doubles, yes. Doubt that.
Yeah, but it's funny that when they tell the story, when somebody else tells the story, I'm like, well, I'll get the real scoop from the caddy. People are notorious liars. I had a group yesterday. The guy was like, just so you know, that guy's a plus 0.5, and he's a 2 handicap. Really good.
Really good.
I'm like, here we go. What did my plus 0.5 do on the first hole?
Took a triple.
Double. Yeah. Wasn't even close.
It's actually a proven fact that the average human being lies something like 116 times a day. Now, that could be to themselves as well.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
But
we're all guilty of it to a certain extent. But, I mean, golfers are notorious.
Shocking.
Notorious. Absolutely it's shocking. Like, come on. Well, whenever they say they carry it 270, you carry it 220.
I remember working with my younger brother out here in the big course. This is 15 years ago. And there was a lad called Andy in the group. He was the player. He was the stick. And they were from Southern California. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. Big group of them. All similar. Yep. So you know what I'm talking about.
I sure do.
They're all laying it on thick. Oh, Andy, you're just hitting the ball so great. Oh, Andy. And Andy's playing up to this, of course.
Of course.
He is by
puffing
far.
Out the chest, yeah.
You know, he's a decent player. But what's a decent player? Someone that can just break 85, that's what I would say, a decent player. Well, he makes double on 18, but somehow he's putting for birdie. This is blows you away. Great four in 18, and I'm thinking, going through it. So as we're driving back home, my wee brother and I are sort of totting up his score, because he tells people that he shot 75, and we're totting it up, and we're like, at least 82.
Yeah. It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
Well, what's
how
even
made up.
Even better was the following day, he chiseled off another 2 strokes. He'd shot 73. You know what I mean?
It's that which whole, was really 84.
Oh, you want to see? Oh, like you and your hole in one, the 25 yarder.
Hey, it went in. I mean, that's no lie.
Yeah, I had a couple of singles this past week, which I don't normally do them, but one was for a podcast list. Mm-hmm. The other one was actually for a guy, a friend of a friend. Just what you say. The lad says to me, I said, what tees do you want to play? And we got three young guys. Mm-hmm. Wet dumps, total wet dumps. You could tell, they're pushing their carts. I says, what tees you playing? And they went, oh, we probably shouldn't, but we're going to play the tips. And I said, yep. Geez. You know, your first and biggest mistake of the day, boys. But my lad said he's a seven. So I said, well, you can play the gold tees then, eh? I swear to God, he shot 120.
He's a seven?
He said he was a seven.
Yeah.
He shot 120. I had a shadow loop with me, a shadow caddy. So for people that don't know, a shadow is a new caddy who has to walk around the courses. It should be a lot more than what they do, but yeah. You know, I think they have to do maybe one round
at each course and two at the big course, yeah.
So he's shadowing me, and he'd said that, I'd said, have you done any caddying before? No. Are you a golfer? Yes. That's sort of one sort of thumb up. The first shadow loop I did, the caddy just told me to just stay out of the way. And I was like, well, that ain't going to happen today, mate.
Prepare to get in the way today, buddy. Grab that rake, pick up that golf bag.
Now, I encouraged them to help the other three, the wet dumps, because I thought, listen, there might be a bit of money in it for you if you help them out, etc. And yeah. Just go and read their putts, get their yardage. What you got to lose? I think the first time I had him carrying the bag was in number six.
You waited that long? That's surprising.
I waited that long. Yeah, yeah. I didn't want, you know,
Gordon was like, hey, you know, my shoulders are tired, bro. Why don't you get on this bag?
It's the first real uphill of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
He carried it for most of the back nine. And he was reading putts and he was doing everything. It was pretty good. It was fun. But my lad shot 120. And he said, oh, this is really strange because seven of my last 10 rounds have been between 74 and 76.
Between 74 and 76. That's pretty precise.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm thinking, par three courses don't count, mate. Yeah.
Where are you playing, bro? 74 and 76.
His nose started growing when he said it.
Liar.
Liar, liar.
This was a podcast listener? This was somebody else?
No, he's not a podcast listener. No, I doubt, he's too much time in the range grinding.
Yeah, if you do end up finding the podcast, come back out.
Now, the podcast listener that I did caddy for, in that group, there were a couple of brothers from Boston. And they had...
Hey, Bobby!
yeah, a couple of nice lads. I personally would look at that as just a dream loop. You could just tell straight away these boys are going to like certain jokes. They're here, you know, they'll take any tips and advice. You can just tell straight away. If I say, they do have a caddy over at your place.
Okay.
If I just said talkie talkie.
Oh, I would know right away.
You know exactly who it is. Mm-hmm. Talkie talkie. One of the worst performances I think I've ever seen. He is one of the worst. He's awful. He really is awful.
Well, there's not a lot of effort and a lot of loops, but yeah, I don't know about awful.
Oh, dude, it's awful. It was one of the worst performances I've seen, and I said to Kevin, I said, listen, watch this, because I could see the atmosphere change because these boys are in the cart, but he's making zero effort to. He's basically doing a four caddy.
Yeah, shouting, bring your club. Yeah,
but as you know, there's a way of doing that. To make it just not seem...
There's an art, yeah. Make it look good.
These guys are running back and forth, then they get to the green, and I said, watch this, the next six holes. And it just went from bad to worse.
And the players took notice?
The players, oh, absolutely. Well, I hooked them up the next day with a decent caddy.
Oh, gotcha.
Because yep. I went up to them at the end, I said, listen, guys, here's my card, check out the podcast, and here's my number if you want a decent caddy for tomorrow.
Nice.
Because their day was ruined.
That's a bummer.
There was another walking single in the group. Mm-hmm. And Talkie Talkie likes to have other people buy lunch, correct?
Of course, all the time.
Sure enough, the guy's not even caddying for picks up, gets his burger.
Well, usually he's got kind of the vet movie. He's like, hey, what do you guys take at the turn? Let me call it in for you. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I'll have this and then.
And because this lad, Kevin, that I was caddying for is a podcast listener, it was a single off a cart. We spent a lot of time together. I gave him a lot of tips, inside tips. Mm-hmm. And he says, how do you know? I says, well, when you are dodgy, you know dodgy behavior.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So I feel as if we've all been there where, oh, I'm hungry. I didn't bring any money with me. You know, some caddy once said to me, who doesn't walk around with without $20 in their pocket.
It's true.
It has happened.
But, I mean, even when they have it, they want the free stuff. And, you know, I as much as I joke about it and I do like a free meal, I don't pull the shady stuff, but I certainly know how to do it very easily. And you do it just like Talkie Talkie does. Well, you call it in. You call it in yourself. And when it comes time, you wait for them to walk into the grill. So you give them a little head start when you finish the hole, and you kind of meander behind them, let the door open, let it close, you hang outside, and then you walk in, and then you're just standing like a puppy dog at the counter.
Yeah.
Ten times out of ten, they will pay for that food. Ten times out of ten.
He said, oh, they do wonderful brats and hot dogs here, boys. And then he only needed one bite. That was it. Then this lad that was carrying his bag, he's like, yeah, I guess I'll just get yours too. And then he is 10th tea box. The boys are wondering, you know, what's the line off the tea? And he's wiping ketchup off his chin. Yeah. So it was poor. It was a poor performance. It was embarrassing. I'm glad the shadow looked. Well, actually, no, it would have been good to have the shadow with me so I could point it out.
Tell him what not to do.
Tell him what not to do.
I mean, if you're really hungry, follow his suggestion, but forget the rest.
I've had some interesting, met some interesting people over the last couple of weeks with different jobs.
Yeah. Different caddies or players?
Players.
Yeah.
Professional violinist.
Wow. Like makes his living playing violin?
Used to.
Wow.
Now he works for some finance company, but a really short guy. He's like, made you look like Andre the Giant. Tiny guy.
Not small myself, so that's not surprising.
Professional violinist. And then that actual lad called Ryland, he is a dog walker.
He's a dog walker? Says, like, what do you as do? His living? Like,
yeah. He's got 15 people work for him up in the Silicon Valley.
And like he's out here playing these courses based on his dog walking?
I would imagine business. So. Well, you think about the clientele up there.
So he's got 15 dog walkers under him. So he's not out there walking the dogs.
Well, he still does it, but he's has so many clients and so many dogs. And maybe I'd imagine a lot of these dogs need walked, a bit like caddies, fed 3 times a day.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's feeding, it's walking 2-3 times a day. He told me some of the stories.
Oh, I can believe it. Bro, you got the wheels turning here. We could have a new business out here.
I'm always looking for a dollar. What else you got? What else has been happening?
Carrying golf bags, man, nonstop, busy. I, you know, not too much in the other line of work. Although the other day I did pick up this gentleman at the main lodge building there, and he was a little inebriated. And yeah, after my loop, I'm not opposed to turning on the app and seeing what's out there. And a lot of times you get ones right from the resort. So I pick up this guy, and this is like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and he is absolutely lit. Yes. Like lit. And I'm like, oh, I see we're going to just an address on the, 17 mile drive over here. And then I look at the address, I'm like, you're in the house on 14 over there. And he's like, how'd you know? I go, oh, I know that address. I have a group that rents that house every year. Our good boys in Southwestern Interiors.
Oh, come on. Always with a drop of the
our boys, Southwest Interiors. Those are our boys.
When are you getting your place refloored?
That's a good question. McCop and Burton, you listening? I could use some flooring. But anyway, so I'm driving this guy back, and he's just lit up, and he's like, oh, yeah, September, where are they from? I'm like, Dallas. He goes, oh, I'm from Dallas. I go, what line of work? And he's like, well, I'm in the apartment building. And I was like, well, he doesn't know McCoppin and Burton or McCadden or any of them. But I was like, I know this guy, Brian Tusa. You got to know Tusa. So I'm like, you know this guy, Brian Tusa? He's like, he's one of my best friends. This is amazing. So I took a picture with him, and the guys, you should see this picture. He's absolutely lit up, and he's flicking off Tusa, and Tusa absolutely loved it. It was pretty funny.
You were talking about getting lit up. That group would have some. I basically carry for a group of lads, friends of friends again. So it comes from a good source. So I'm going to take the job.
Yeah, you know what it's going to be.
It started off the one lad who's hosting his clients is lit up already.
Mm-hmm.
He's a handful in the first tee.
Here we go.
A real handful.
Game on.
And he's taking photos, and he throws me his... He's like, hey, G! And he just throws his phone at me. I see it late. I catch it, but it catches the end of my finger. You see that?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's like... Yeah. I don't know. It's damaged.
My finger!
I then showed him it, because the blood comes up straight away. No interest. Couldn't care less.
He doesn't care.
It wasn't 12 doubles. It was certainly 7 or 8 double drinks after what they probably had at lunch.
Because he was already lit.
Oh, I asked that. And then he was offering me mushrooms. And I asked the lie. I was like, do you guys have liability insurance with this character?
Yeah.
So I'd text in the morning. They get through the night okay. But he was getting kind of out of hand. He was walking around with the music on his shoulder. You know, just in his own world.
Oh, yeah. His mushroom world and booze world.
It's just, I don't know. I like to have a few beers when I play golf, but I don't think I've ever quite been like that.
I think we've talked about it before. It's amazing how messed up people get when they're out here playing these courses. Like, I don't get it. I wouldn't want to be in that state playing these courses, but people, they do it daily out here. It's crazy.
Yeah. There must be something behind it, Zabo. But anyway, got to move on. Okay. We've got a few questions in the mailbag and some stuff. I don't know if we're going to get onto all of this.
Yeah. We promised a lot in the intro, but we're going to get through as much as we can. We'll try to go in order, but yeah, we'll see what we can check off.
Like always, caddies promise a lot, not delivering everything. But
overpromise, underdeliver.
A quick message from our sponsor,
Big Game Golf,
we'll move on to some mailbag questions and shoutouts. Every golfing group has the guy who coordinates the weekly game or the buddy's trip. If you're that guy, you'll be very familiar with the pain and frustration scheduling, managing, and scoring your game. Why not make your life easier by downloading the Big Game Golf app and start saving time and hassle today? Whether you're a caddy wanting to engage more with your golfers, a pro shop wanting to get out of running the weekly game, or you're that guy wanting to streamline the process, Big Game Golf is here to help you. The app has over 30 games, so there is no need to keep playing the same boring games with your mates week in and week out. The app is also fully integrated with the USGA, so every player's handicap will automatically be incorporated, which saves time and, more importantly, sandbagging. Simply choose your game, keep score, and the app will do all the calculations with live scoring, leaderboards, and contest results. Big Game Golf will even text players the final results. So start improving your golf experience today by downloading the app, Big Game Golf. So Zabo, I'd mentioned how I carried for, his name's Kevin Schuler. I actually met him doing a long drive in Sacramento 3 years ago. I was on the 6th or 9th tee.
Okay.
In 112 degrees.
Wow.
He was one of the golfers, gave him a card. He's been listening to the podcast ever since.
Nice.
And he was down.
Thanks for listening.
So he sent me a message and it said, any chance of you guys carrying for me? Please check my list and correct any items that I may be off on. Make sure I'm early. No more than 14 clubs. If I don't use 3 wood, don't bring it. No more than 6 golf balls. Be sure to have tees in my pocket. Remove all excess items from bag. Don't need a ball catcher. Hit it in the fairway. Don't second guess caddy. Offer drinks and food, snacks at turn. Don't roll the ball to caddy. Be ready to play. If caddy accidentally misjudges yardage and doesn't have the right club, hit the one he gives you harder.
He has been listening.
Right. Never blame caddy for poor play. Make sure to bring a cart so Big G has a good time. Did I miss anything? I was like, listen, see you Tuesday. So
perfect. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun, but he was there to witness the talkie-talkie. So
legendary.
Yeah. That's amazing. 3 years after since I did that long drive thing.
That's crazy.
He's like, do you not remember me? And I'm like, that was 3 years ago. There was 160 people there.
I don't remember the guy I caddied for yesterday.
Yeah. And I was probably in the Stellas.
Yeah, exactly.
So, questions, mailbag questions. On the first show of 2024, you fellas talked about your New Year resolutions and you wanted someone to check back in a few months and see how those were progressing. Chris Heislip from Phoenix, Arizona, also known as Hilo.
Hilo.
Hilo. Top, middle, or bottom?
Well, in my defense, I don't think I said I had any resolutions. You were going to try to be more prepared and organized. And
yes.
How's that working out for you?
Look around you.
Yeah, does look nice in here.
I did spend 10 minutes looking for my phone. However.
Yeah, true.
The organization's getting there.
Nice.
I played golf this week. I have not been playing once a week.
Yeah, it's tough to do. That's tough to maintain.
I am playing tomorrow.
Nice.
So that's twice in a week.
Well.
And
bringing it out
for caddying, I'm definitely more prepared.
That's good. So you're holding to it.
I would say 70%.
Gotcha. Well, I need to. I'm going to make a newfound resolution. Try to do the same thing. Be more prepared and have the right things at the right times.
I think it would help if you knew what date it was, what month it was.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly. Yeah. I am very confused on dates right now. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what the date is. I don't know what year we're in. So.
Well, you texted me yesterday with a little attitude almost. No, seriously, are we not working together Monday? I'm like, no.
That's not the same
day. You said the 17th. I'm like, no, Monday's not the 17th.
Yeah, but. And I screwed over my buddy Troy, actually, who listens to the podcast today. I gave him the wrong day by a week, a full week. It's next Thursday, not this Thursday. He showed up for a 6:50 job that didn't exist. Pathetic. Sorry, boy.
I think you probably owe him lunch.
I do. I owe him more than that. But
okay, next question comes from a Gabe Alvarez in a place called Sparks, Nevada.
I have heard of Sparks, Nevada. Not too far from Tahoe, Reno, yeah.
What do you think about redoing the scoring system in golf? Putts are worth half a stroke. Drive second shot on green, two putt equals a three. Wow. Better ball strikers are rewarded. What are your thoughts? So basically, instead of a full stroke for putting, it's a half stroke.
No, I think scoring's good the way it is. I think you might see something like that in the TGL, the new simulator league that's going to, I guess they're going to launch officially next year. But I think for the game as it is now on the actual outside golf courses, let's keep it the way it is.
Yeah, they're never going to have a mainstream change of it.
Correct.
However, I could see some tournaments that come the back end of the season. That's something they might look at. Yeah. It does kind of annoy you. Like, for example, that when we talked about the gimme and somebody on a par five hits driver 3 wood and rolls up to 2 feet, and then the people are like, no, you got to hold the.
Yeah, it's for ego. You got to put that.
No, you don't.
You hit two great shots.
They said you have to earn it. Well, they just did.
Yep.
You know, it's that. So I think there's something soul destroying about tapping the ball in from an inch, and it counts the same as say.
Yeah, or you just hole everything out and call it a day and play golf, yeah.
No, but I mean, I can see what he's thinking about here.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, no, it's never going to fly, mate. Next question. Why do we shout four on the golf course for errant golf balls? And that came from Teddy B in Monterey.
So, Teddy B. Mm-hmm. So, four originally was shouted because back in the day when golf was first started, there was four caddies, as there is now, and golfers would be out there to spot the golf balls.
Caddies would be out there, not golfers.
Four caddies would be out there, and the golfers would shout, "Four caddy!" Because they obviously, like today, don't remember their caddies' names, and they don't shout Mike or Gordon, they shout, "Four caddy!" And then that was shortened because that got to be a little much. Four caddy got to be a little much, so they shortened it to four. And that's why we do it today. And it stuck.
I'm not sure I believe that.
No, I read it somewhere. I did a little research, but that is allegedly why we do that.
Yeah. Well, I've asked a number of people, and there was absolutely no reason for it.
No reason? Just somebody shouted four sometime, and it caught on.
It's a little bit like taking your hat off to shake hands.
I read that in a couple of spots about the four caddy. They were yelling at the four caddy.
I think it's as good a reason or explanation as any.
And it's fun to do. Mm-hmm. Boy, you do it in a comical way sometimes. When guys like, "Oh, should I wait to hit?" And you're like, "He's 320 yards. You're not getting it out there." And he hits ropes one about 250, like his best shot of his life. He hits it 250, and you go four as loud as you can, and it goes 70 yards short of him.
Yeah.
We all get a good chuckle out of it.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Or when your buddies are in front of you and it's nowhere near him, you go four.
That
is fun. I've started doing that sometimes.
Now, here's one for us. This is what you touched on earlier.
Okay.
You guys often mention working in pro-ams with professional golfers. What do you think professional golfers really think of caddies? Adrian Black, Dania Beach, Florida?
There's a wide variety of different opinions.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking he's obviously talking about professional golfers.
Yeah. I think by and large, they see us, a lot of them see us as a necessary evil. A lot of them just disdain and hate caddies, but they know they're needed. They need people that they're not carrying their own golf bags. They're not taking golf carts. So they're needed out there. They see them as bag carriers. It's just, I mean, for lack of a better term, bugs. They're just out there walking around, scum of the earth, gambling, drinking, smoking, carrying the way a lot of people see us, you know?
Yeah, true. They'd be right.
There's a handful who are genuine human beings and they care about their caddies and they're very good relationships and they rely on their caddies, but a lot of them go through caddies like they go through underwear. They don't care who's carrying their bag. They're the one of the best golfers in the world on the PGA Tour, on the wherever, you know.
You mean the LIV Golf Tour?
Yeah. Well, I mean, those guys, they stick with their caddies. Oh, yeah. They're not, you ride that gravy train if you're a caddy, but a lot of those PGA Tour players, they cycle through the caddies like nothing because they don't care. They need somebody to carry their bag and they don't want the help because they're too good.
Mm. Would you say that professional golfers have changed over the years?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, to what extent are you talking about?
Well, I've heard stories about Seve Ballesteros.
And good light or bad light?
Just being a real prick.
Yeah,
I could see that. Really mean, cheap, super cheap. Mm-hmm. There's a famous one where he was playing Nick Price, and Seve, I think he was opening some snack bar and made a noise in Nick Price's backswing. Then he offered to give him a putt or something. Nick Price said, no, it's fine. And he said, no, I will take it. And he went, no, you had one chance. You had your chance. Not giving you any more. I'm trying to remember the one where I think Seve actually allowed Tony Jacklin to stay at his house for the Spanish Open. And then he sent him a bill at the end of the week.
Right. That's legendary. That's hilarious.
Maybe it's a Spanish thing. Remember I told you about who's the guy in the Champions Tour? The crime.
Oh, Miguel Angel Jimenez?
Yeah. And then we're at the Pro-Am here. And all that food's laid on, you know. Mm. So they get you with the food trucks that year.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all, you could literally order all you want. Mm-hmm. He orders enough for a small village back in Spain, and he leaves a dollar.
Yeah, that's just, it's shocking. It is shocking.
So you can imagine, well, twice or three times he was pulled up by the European Tour for not paying his caddy the full 10% that he's, jeez, you know, contractually meant to do. My wee pal Mark, he always said, he didn't think there would be a difference in where you finish at the end of the year if you had a caddy or not. He said that you're just going to get there on the golfer's merit. But then I see the interaction that, say, someone like Brooks Koepka has with his guy.
No, I think there are definitely caddies who help, certainly the mental aspect, and certainly with green reading and club selection. Mm-hmm. I think there wouldn't be a large difference, but I definitely think there would be some players who would be detrimental to him.
There's no real final answer there. But I do, my own experience with certainly the way we are seen as when at these pro-ams, there's some guys will respect you and then some are just completely dismissive.
I mean, you know how I am with numbers and I like to put numbers on things, but I'd say,
here we go. I'd say, he's reaching into the clouds.
40% are genuine and like caddies, 60% hate them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That's a good number. we had an experience with a guy.
Oh, yeah. Former tour player. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And you could just tell he no longer plays on tour, but he played for many years on tour. He had no respect for us.
He was
very dismissive.
Successful tour player. And you get that a lot with successful tour players.
Was he that successful?
He was successful enough. He made a good living at it for a number of years. I mean, he was, yes. Those guys at that level, it is such an elite level. It is ridiculous how good those guys are. If you're able to play on tour for 5, 10, 15 years and maintain your card and be that good, that is beyond elite. That is the cream of the crop. Especially, it's changed a little bit with the development of the LIV Tour, but those guys are so damn good, it's ridiculous. So if you're able to make a living at that, yeah, you're really damn good. And with that comes some arrogance, as we saw. Like we said, he was in the 60% that wasn't a fan of caddies, and he's not going to be told anything, and he doesn't want anything to do with you. He doesn't care about where you came from or what your life was about.
You see, you also have to think, Zabo, a lot of these new guys on tour, they've got their mate that they used to play at college with. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, there's a lot more. Caddying, professional golf has changed. One, because the amount of money it's involved. The amount of public your life is with the social media stuff. And then caddying's changed hugely. You know, you don't get the long John Silver just turned up, you know, docked his boat and all the caddies came off to come and caddy on tour anymore.
It's a different game.
It's completely when we're around these events at the tents, you can tell the guys, you know,
yeah.
Well, Mickelson's old carry plays at Whisper Rock.
Yeah, you know, member there. Yeah.
He's a member there. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's big money.
Ridiculous.
So I'm going to disagree. I'm going to grab a couple of numbers from the clouds there. Zabo's cloud, by the way, 50-50. Now,
too far off.
This past week, I sent a little tweet out. If you're not following on Twitter, get on it. Glorified Donkey. Instagram as well. I actually got back on Instagram.
Nice.
Started making some reels.
Good.
And made a couple of people unhappy with some of the posts, but that's because they're soft.
Yeah.
However, my latest one was, the worst part of Masters Week is having to see Brando Chamblee's face on the television.
Agreed. 100% agree.
And I just said, like this post if you agree.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of people agreed. He has a few fanboys, but by and large, the majority of people either said, mute it, change the channel, won't watch it, only watch CBS, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
How is this guy still on telly?
I mean, doesn't the PGA Tour own the golf channel? That's why, because he shills for the PGA Tour. I mean,
So he's just doing the job.
He rails against Lynch. He's
unbelievable.
He's unrelenting about it. Him, even Lynch. I mean, even Nota Begay's getting in the mix. It's really sickening. There's no point to watching it because you know exactly what you're going to hear. Yeah. And it's an absolute joke. He blocked both of us on Twitter. And I'm happy about that because I don't need to hear. It is. I don't need to hear the nonsense you're spouting, Brandel, because you're an idiot.
Well, it's every year since LIV Golf kind of came to the forefront of the game. And that's all he talks about.
It's all he talks about. And he's not a stupid guy. He's a smart guy, but he thinks he's a damn wordsmith. With the words he uses, he's like, I have all these big words and I'm gonna use them intelligently to call these guys murderers and terrorists and get out of here with it. You've beat a dead horse too much. Nothing's changing. These guys are doing what they have to do or what they want to do to make money, and good on them for doing it. And you do the same thing. If they offered Brandel Chamblee, and screw you if you say you wouldn't, because if they offered him $100 million to jump ship from the Golf Channel to go in David Faraday's position to commentate on LIV,
100%.
He'd do it. As much as he's saying right now he wouldn't, his tune would change, and he would write an apology letter just like John Rahm and join the troops.
The couple of minutes I caught were all about John Rahm, and they were talking about how he's had fewer rounds, which means he might not be quite as sharp. And the LIV golfers, their travel schedule, right? And I'm thinking, the travel schedule, oh yeah, they're out in the Middle East. And I'm thinking, well, European Tour's been doing that for a long time. A lot of American players will go to the Middle East, etc., or China. And it's not as if these guys are going to jump in a train and then have to make their way through India and up through Afghanistan.
They're not roughing it over there. They're not roughing it over there. And you know, we beat this horse last year and the year before. Well, how can these guys compete when they're playing three rounds? They're not even playing full tournaments. Were you not watching the Masters last year with Brooks Koepka? Did you not see him win the PGA?
Yeah.
I think John Rahm is going to be just fine, bro. Wait to see the tournament plays out. See how he does.
Yeah, painful. Absolutely painful.
Not going to be, I'm sure there's another LIV guy in there. Those guys are still elite golfers.
Mm-hmm.
One of those guys is going to make a deep run at the Masters and potentially could win it, and I wouldn't be surprised.
I think they've found the right balance. That's just what I've always thought. You know, I've always said, no one's growing the game. I don't think the game of golf is growing, right?
Agreed.
It was never about that. That's nonsense.
Well, it's definitely going the other way.
I didn't like the hypocrisy of people calling out where the money comes from when they should really look at the sponsors of every other event on the PGA
Tour.
The women are now going to go to Saudi Arabia
on a regular basis. Yeah.
You know, no negative press about that, is there?
Of course.
So it's pick and choose your stuff. Total hypocrisy. But I actually, from a golfing point of view, it's a wear and tear sport. It really is.
Big time.
And if you're playing 20 tournaments a year, that's a wonderful kind of place to be, I think.
It is.
As opposed to being out there slapping it around and, you know, 38, 40 weeks of the year.
Yeah, and four round tournaments, yeah.
Very tiring, right? We don't have time to talk about the World Order of Merit. We should do that in the next episode.
We will. That's a hot topic.
Because I think there'll be a lot more talk about it in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Than there is
gonna,
right
you're
now.
You're going to get some pretty good players being excluded from majors.
But we have to finish with our shout outs. I'm going to start Zabo, right? Because I got a few from the emails. Jim White from Southern California, he bought some beers. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Loved the Mac stories. We called him Mac the Mouth when he looked for us. Always talking, usually insightful, and he is an elite caddy when it comes to strategy and knowledge. Best thing about Mac is that he genuinely roots for his players to do well. Plus, he referred us to the legendary Paul Bauer. Great show. Keep it going.
Great caddy.
We also have a James Blair. Guys, love the podcast. Pissed myself laughing, listening, driving home from work. Well, I hope you're wearing Depends or something, mate.
Absolutely.
Can't be having you pissed.
Got to be careful about that.
Can't get Zabo to take you home. He won't allow that type of behavior.
Yeah, I can smell that a mile away. You're not getting in my car.
He says, in reference to Aussies being tight arses, come on, give us a break. We don't tip for anything, so that whole situation you have there in the States confuses the shit out of us. Here, there's a set price for everything. But I am half Scottish, so maybe a little tight. His nickname is Omega. He says, an Omega watch. As I'm that tight, I'm waterproof to 100 metres. Like
that. That's funny.
And then my final shout-out goes to an Ian Gordon James McNeil. And he's a guy I met last week.
That sounds made up, but go ahead.
No, he's proper. We got on very well because he's originally from Jockland.
Nice.
He founded a vodka distillery up in Seattle in Washington, right?
Nice.
It's called Glass Vodka. Check it out. Glass Vodka. And he originally family's from Scotland. He played golf at the University of Edinburgh.
Nice.
His home courses there were North Berwick and Gullen. Not bad for university courses. But he's going to send us some vodka to sample.
He knows caddies.
Yeah. We'll see about getting the listeners a discount code for that because it's a high-end one. This ain't Smirnoff, you know what I mean? This isn't any sort of Russian, Polish, you know, clean your...
Not pop-off, yeah.
I clean the car, the gutters with it. This is proper. This is not caddy vodka, by the way. This is proper. So, and also Ryland, he's a dog walker from...
Got a shout-out dog walker.
He's heading off to Colombia. He texted me, I asked him if he wanted to play golf. He's heading to Colombia to look at venues for his wedding. And I was like, don't do it, Ryland,
Gordon's going to give you my email address. I want you to email me. We can talk about setting up shop down here in Monterey.
Yeah, branching out.
Yes.
The dogs like Chipotle.
I'll give you 10% and let's set up a system down
here.
Not a bad idea. I don't want to actually walk dogs, but we'll get a team in place.
you'd have them. I tell you, this is how Zabo would do this. He'd get somebody local to hitch a bunch of hooks to the back of the car, right? And as you're driving Uber,
yes,
you'd have a bunch of dogs in the back.
Now we're talking.
Or to save even more money, you'd get the dogs pulling the car.
Wow.
Instead of using any petrol.
Huh? Now we're talking. Get the strong ones in front, the weak ones in back.
Right, who you got?
I got to just shout out my boys, Derek Nightingale. I got to shout out John and Dave, and then my boy Tim. Good to have you guys in town. It was good to caddy for you, and a lot of laughs and good times.
Excellent. Perfect. Well, listen, thanks for your time, Zabo. I'm glad we finally got to get this one out.
Thank you.
If you're new to the podcast, check out the previous episodes. There are 129 now, and myself and Zabo will be back in a couple of weeks. We'll actually talk about all of the stuff we promised we'd talk about.
Yeah.
But we will finally get around to it.
Maybe a guest too.
Yes. Until then, though, get out there, enjoy your golf, but more importantly,
keep it humble.